Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your host today, and I am delighted to introduce our leading lady. We are going to be talking about The Great Escape, the successful women's guide to escaping the 9-to-5. So I don't know about all of you out there, but I want to escape the 9-to-5. And so I am delighted to say that our leading lady today is Amy Mewbourne, and she is the author of The Great Escape, the successful woman's guide to escaping the 9-to-5. But she is so much more to that, because she is a former entrepreneur, business builder, and so I can't wait to have Amy share with you some of her wise wisdom. So Amy, welcome to the show, and say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everyone, and thank you, Michelle, so much for having me.
I love when I always say hello to our listeners, and people, our guests, go, well, wait a minute, I can't see them. I can't see these people, but they are out there. I can see it. They're like waiting to hear with bated breath what you have to say, because I think all of us want to escape the 9-to-5, right?
Sure.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I want to kick things off, and let's just get into it. I mean, what is in your mind? I mean, I want to talk about this magical book that you've done, and we'll unpack a little bit about your background, but tell us a little bit about the book and how it is The Great Escape and how we can escape the 9-to-5. I'm dying to know more about your book.
So basically, my book was kind of years in the making, and I had been writing it little by little after I had left corporate America and launched my own fitness businesses. And what I found was that I was a very methodical, systematic person. And while I was preparing to leave my corporate job and my very stable, steady six-figure income, I had kind of been following this process, making sure that I was all set up where I wasn't going to fall flat on my face. And basically, this book is kind of the culmination of all of those lessons that I had in my own experience and now in my experience helping other women leave corporate to build a business that they love.
I love it. You know, I too came from corporate, and I love this because I don't think everybody kind of like wants to start a business. What was your corporate background, Amy?
So I had been a financial advisor and CFP for years, and we had a small multifamily office in La Jolla, California. And when I say multifamily office, that is a very small number of clients who mostly were business owners, and we managed elements of their business planning, their marketing, their estate planning, transferring assets between generations. And so there was just so many different pieces that went into that element of advising. And I had done it. I started in finance when I was 18. In my first year of college, I started interning with American Express. And so I had spent years and years in this. And basically, at age 29, I realized that I just wasn't having the fun that I wanted anymore. And I kind of started to feel, pulled in a different direction. And I always tell people that if there's a whisper, you should be listening to it, because one day there's probably going to be like a hammer instead.
Right.
And for me, that moment was I had a stroke at 29 years old, and a lot of it was hormonal, a lot of it was stress, and just those moments where, again, if you know that you're not in alignment with what you should be doing with your future, your body eventually tells you. So it's really kind of my story, and it's very, very, it's written from a place where I'm very transparent, and I share a lot of the things that went through my head or why I made decisions the way I did, because I feel like the more personal you can make it, the more someone can see themselves in that potential situation.
You know, first of all, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't know that, and I can't even imagine having a stroke at 29. I mean, was it a wake-up call in a way that you just go, was it stress? I mean, is that what you've equated it to, or is there a, you know, not to get too personal, but I'm sure at 29, all of our listeners are aghast that this would be a tipping point for you and saying, I need to change, you know, my lifestyle and what I do.
Well, it was hormonal, so they found that there were some hormonal imbalances that caused some blood clots that shouldn't have been there. But the funny thing is, I joke about the fact that I had my stroke in the Container Store in the middle of Fashion Valley. And
oh, my God.
My husband pulls up and takes me to the emergency room. And even at that moment, I'm mostly out of it, but I look at the emergency room and I'm like, we're at Scripps. My insurance is Sharp. You have to take me to Sharp. And
oh, good
he's
grief.
Like, no, he's like, no, we're here. This is where we're staying. And so I just always was doing the very responsible thing. And so that was a Sunday afternoon. I was released from the hospital on Tuesday night, and I was sitting back at my desk before 8 a.m., on Wednesday morning. And
oh, girl.
I realized pretty quickly after that that it just was not the life that I wanted to live indefinitely anymore.
And then, you know, I'm curious with something. You use the words escaping the 9-to-5. I mean, was that the case for you that you felt it was an escape, like getting away, like running away from something bad? You know, because I know there's so many women that say, oh, man, I dread my job. It's like I'm tired of my career, my, you know, working for somebody else. Was it an escape for you to get out?
Well, the funny thing is that the job that I was in had literally been my absolute dream job. I worked with some of the coolest, most amazing people in the entire country. And eventually it did start to become a grind, and it did start to become something that I dreaded. And for me, I found that I was often drinking fair amounts of wine on Sunday nights just so I could get to sleep without thinking about all the things I had going on over the next week that I needed to get done. And
now,
you know,
wait a minute, I got to ask, is drinking wine on a Sunday night a problem? I'm like, is that a problem? That's like a normal thing, isn't it?
It's not a problem if it's one glass. It is a problem when it's one bottle and you're thinking, I really want to open another one. But,
I got
just,
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so for me, it was finally an escape, because as much as I had once loved what I did, it had become something that I felt like maybe I had outgrown, and it wasn't what I wanted to do with the rest of my life.
Well, you know, I know, and we've got such limited time, so I'm going to hop a little bit because I'm really curious, how did you make the leap from financial services to a yoga and fitness studio, right? Because, I mean, that's the part that, like, are those some of the tips you have in your book? And what would you advise our listeners if they're saying, hey, man, I want the great escape as well? What are some of the steps that you recommend women can do, you know, to then land with what you did? I mean, that's like 180 degrees different from what your background was.
So for me, because my background was finance, I was not going to take a chance on something that I didn't believe I could replace my income fairly quickly and build something that was going to be pretty profitable and pretty successful. So long story short, I had been gaining weight because I was sitting at a desk all the time, and I just was not healthy. And I found Bar through a girlfriend that was teaching at a local studio, and just immediately in my first class fell in love. And I came home and told my husband, I said, if every girl knew about this, every girl would want to do it. And so I just continued going to class, and my body changed faster than anything I'd ever experienced. And I said, you know, I really think that this business model works too, because there were some build-out costs and there were some overhead things in terms of ongoing rent and staffing, but it wasn't one of those businesses that you were going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to go and launch. And that's one of the big things that I'm always telling people that do want to go and leave a steady job, is you have to find something that you're really passionate about. You have to be willing to run the numbers and really kind of write that business plan and do some financial forecasting beforehand. Otherwise, you potentially leave something stable and end up with something that you haven't properly planned for. So much of the book is really about, we kind of start with getting your personal financial house in order. If you're going to leave your job, are you going to lose your health insurance? And if so, what have you done to replace that before you go out on your own? Do you have savings where if you couldn't get an income from your business for 6 months or a year or longer, would you still be able to pay your bills? You know, and all right. of those things that you really have to think about before you just kind of throw up your hands and you're like, yeah, I hate this job, I'm out of here. So.
And, you know, the interesting part is, Amy, so many women do that. You know, I mean, this is what, and I think it's genius that you're saying kind of have a plan to escape the 9-to-5, because I would, you know, I have to say my own experience. Please, you're probably going to fall off your chair when I say this, but when I started my business, I cast in my 401k plan, and I would not, let me just, total disclosure here, not recommend that anybody does that. That's not the idea of what to do in starting a business, but that was kind of my only option. So, you know, kind of curious with you is, you know, do you kind of talk about the reality that sometimes it's not a perfect scenario? I mean, I always talk to so many business owners later on, and I'd love your perspective on this, that they say, man, if I would have known everything I needed to do when I first started a business and all the things I should do, I would have never started my business. So I'm curious what you think about that, because I hear that all the time.
So I always joke that as entrepreneurs, we're the only people crazy enough to actually want to work 100 hours a week for ourselves so we don't have to work 40 for someone else. So when I first opened my first studio, I was trying to save money and was doing a lot of it myself. And so for the first few weeks, no exaggeration, in between the morning and the afternoon block of classes, I would stack mats in the back of the room, and I would sleep for a couple of hours. And I would say that in the first 2 weeks, there was not one day that I came home and did not say to my husband, oh, my gosh, I don't know what the heck I was thinking. I had literally destroyed our life. And, you know, fortunately for me, he was very supportive, and he's like, look, you had reasons for doing this. Don't give up. You knew that this was what you wanted to do. You just have to have the fortitude to be able to push through these first moments where you're like, oh, my goodness, I'm doing something completely different than I've ever done. I had no help in launching it other than my husband. And so basically, I was making mistake after mistake just because I didn't know any better. And, you know, you make some of those when you start a business. And that was, again, kind of the reason for the book, was a lot of the things that I did experience, I wanted to tell the stories of those where someone else could say, oh, yeah, I could see that, and I should probably plan for that.
I love that. You know, I have to chime in and go, I always call, you know, I will say, I've never made one single mistake in running a business, but I've had thousands of learning lessons, right? Because it really is about learning. I mean, we learn what not to do, which is so unfortunate because you got to try things. But I'm curious for you, it's like with the book and you know, what your experience has been, because you've built your business to 25 employees, very successful, I believe multiple locations, right?
Yes.
And then how, I mean, what were some of the things that you feel were some of those major learning lessons, or if you want to call them mistakes, but I like the positive side, what are the kind
Sure.
of like key learning lessons that you feel you kind of learned the hard way, if you will? Because I could give you a list of about 1,000 of them, but I want to hear what yours are.
There were so many. When we opened our first location, we went into a really nice little retail center, and we were paying way more for rent than we should have. We had an attorney and a commercial real estate agent help us with the lease, and there were some big things that were missed in the lease that came back to bite us over the course of our term. With a team of 25 people, there often was some drama and things like that. So I will say that we learned really quickly how to implement incentives and things to keep everyone on the same page and working together instead of the backbiting that could often happen in a business.
Right.
I learned pretty quickly that I really had to have at least one day off a week where I completely unplugged. Otherwise, I was becoming an absolute crazy person. I found that after running the two studios for basically 7 years, that I was really starting to enjoy helping other people do it a lot more than I was enjoying doing it myself anymore. And so I kind of took a step back and sold the business. And that was a very big step for me because this had literally been my baby. Mike and I have no kids, and I had put everything into building and growing this business. So, you know, it was definitely an adjustment.
I'm sure I can't even imagine. And, you know, you hit a point, I think, where with all those employees, I mean, had you managed that kind of number of people before in your corporate background? Was it easy for you
Never.
In managing people? Oh, wow. So what were some of the big learning lessons with people? I mean, how did you learn that? Did you take classes? Did you have, like, a coach or advisors? What would be some of the suggestions you'd have about handling those proverbial employees and managing that well?
So first of all, I believe that whenever you launch a business, you have to have a really great business attorney, because when you're running that kind of business, you need to make sure that you've dotted your I's and you've crossed your T's, because there are things that come up that you never in a million years would have anticipated before you decided to run the business. So that would be one of the first things. And then the second thing was that I started to identify the things that I did not want to be my biggest problems in the business with staff. And so I put incentive plans and incentive compensation around those things so that way my team was empowered and they didn't want things to fall in my lap because it was going to directly affect their income. So that was a huge
nice.
Thing for me. And then eventually I ended up getting a full-time manager because I found that I was way more effective being in the studio teaching classes, being out in the community marketing than I was trying to manage the people because I hated it.
Wow. Is it, you know, and then there's some people that love that part, but they aren't good with numbers. You know, how, I mean, I think that's some advice to give any of our listeners is how did you really, you know, was it a thoughtful process to realize what you're really good at? Was it just kind of observation and experience? Or what would you recommend to people, which are lots of owners that listen to our radio show, how can they go through maybe a few steps to realize this is where you're not doing so well at it? Because everyone always talks about how you need to delegate and you need to not take on things, but I think you need to identify what you're really good at and what you're not good at, hire or, you know, hand it off to somebody, right?
Right. So I will tell you that I think one of the biggest telltale signs is if you have something that is on your to-do list and it's important to the business And every single day you're pushing it off till tomorrow, and you're pushing it off till tomorrow. That tells you that either you're not good at it or you hate it. And so that should be one of the first things in my eyes that you would delegate. And I always want people to understand that you can delegate the task, but you don't delegate the responsibility. So if you're going to delegate something to someone, you need to give them a deadline to come back to you with answers. And you need to put something in your calendar to say, hey, can I get some answers on what's going on with this? Because otherwise, things just start to fall through the cracks. For me, I loved the numbers, but I didn't want to be the person to have to go and run the numbers. So my manager would report the numbers to me in a Google Drive every single week. And so this way I could look and I'd set up the spreadsheet the way I wanted to see it, and we could see year over year, month comparing to month, where we were in the business. So there are just so many things that I think you learn as you go along.
I think that's a really great phrase, we learn as we go along. Because even with all the rule books out there, there's still certain things that, you know, you kind of go, man, you got to learn by experience. But I think in your book, it's so much about reality and your experience, which is really great information. You're not telling people how to do it. You did it. And I love that, you know, kind of focus of your book. Flipping forward a little bit, what was the tipping point for you to decide to sell your business? And then how did you go through that process? What would be some advice you'd give to the owners or our listeners about how you went about selling your business? Did you get a broker? Was it something you just, you know, kind of like put it out to a number of people? You know, what was that like, and what made you decide that it's time to sell and, you know, for the next chapter for you?
So for me, again, I think a lot of it came down to lifestyle and the fact mm-hmm. that I was starting to consult with clients. I was starting to certify instructors all around the world, so I was often on planes going to studios all over the place. I was running two studios and trying to manage everything. And eventually, I noticed that the biggest reason I had started the business was so I could spend more time with the people that I loved. And that had fallen by the wayside. And that was kind of the moment where my parents live in the Midwest. They're nowhere near the studio. And when I realized I was having a hard time scheduling, even just to go spend Christmas with them, it was not a good fit for me anymore. So I got a broker, and it took a while. I mean, working with a broker, in my eyes, I think is pretty much the only way to sell a business and sell it well, because I knew how to launch the business. I had no idea how to sell it. So
no one tells you that part, right? Because it takes time, right? I mean, did you like get referred to a broker? Was it somebody that specialized in fitness studios, or did you, you know, kind of get there eventually? What was that like to find a broker?
So for me, I was a member of Hera Hub, a co-working community there in San Diego. And
amazing co-working community. Yes, I agree.
Yes. And so the best thing about that community was when you needed a good referral or a good recommendation, there were always people in that community that had people for you to talk to. So I was referred to someone, and they basically kind of helped me put everything in place where the studio would be more saleable, because the more I was there, the harder it would be to sell it, because there would be a larger hole when I left. And so I kind of started to phase myself out a little bit here and there. And then I started transferring more responsibilities to the manager. And then I started transferring more responsibilities to the staff. So that way, when someone was ready to buy, it was a little bit more of a turnkey business than it was an entrepreneur or a self-employed person running a business.
Right. And how difficult was that for you to start doing that? I mean, was it easy because you kind of had started down that road before, or what kind of time frame was it for you to really kind of start pulling yourself out of the business so it looked turnkey?
It probably was almost a year. And, you know, it was something that just little by little you had to start transferring a responsibility to someone else. And, again, you can delegate some of the tasks, but as the business owner, the buck stops with you. So, for example, if I had transferred a marketing task to someone on my staff and it didn't get done and revenue fell off that month, everyone still had to get paid. I still was trying to build a business that was very saleable. So, you know, really quickly you learn, okay, I can delegate that, but I can't delegate that because it's affecting the bottom line in such a way that it's going to harm the potential sale of a business. So there's just,
right,
there's a lot to consider. And, you know, I always love the word pivot because
you can
start down a path and realize that that's not the right path. And it's, again, not necessarily a mistake, but you can choose to pivot down another path.
I love that word as well. And I'm curious with you. So let's pivot, right? Let's use that word. And I know it's, I mean, I'd love to have you back five times with all the wise advice you're giving, Amy. You know, for you with the book, so sold the business, awesome. I'm sure you ran straight to the bank for the multi-millions you got the business for. But what's the next chapter for you? I mean, you did the book. And so I want to just real quick back up a minute. If our listeners are interested, the book is The Great Escape, The Successful Woman's Guide to Escaping the 9-to-5. We have a link to Amazon, you know, for the book. How would you like people to kind of contact you? Because I know you do coaching and consulting and speaking. How do you want people to reach you if they want to raise their hand and get in touch with you?
So my website is Amy Mewbourn, and it's M as in Mary, not N as in newborn, amymewbourn.com. And I have information on all of the services I provide, but one of the bigger things that I do on my website is provide a lot of free information because I feel like it's so important if you're going to make a big decision like this to really start doing part of the work and feel really good about the decision before you pull the trigger. So you'll just find that if you go to my site, there's all kinds of different places where if you're in this part of a potential business, you can get resources for that. So that's my goal, is
love
to
it.
Always be providing great information where someone can make a good and informed decision.
That is awesome. And I know we'll have a link to your site as well on our radio show page. You know, what does the future look like for you? I mean, what are you kind of like, you know, chapter next for you, kind of paint a picture? You know, I think it's so awesome that you built, you know, an incredible business enterprise. It's like you had employees, and then you said, okay, next. What's next for you, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months for you with the book and what you're trying to do now? How does that look? Bless you.
So I have so many, thank you. I have so many things kind of coming up. I'm speaking at the Mind Body Conference, which is one of the big fitness conferences, and going to be teaching about fitness marketing. I help women launch studios. I help existing studio owners make their businesses more profitable. And then one of the things that I'm looking to launch in the next probably 9 to 12 months is a mastermind / implementation group where we have a group of probably 6 to 8 women that all come together quarterly and we spend a day masterminding in each other's businesses, but also with an agenda to implement certain elements of a business. So maybe rewriting websites, creating launch funnels, creating opt-ins, creating content for their ideal client, all of the things that someone would need to do to launch a more successful business.
Cool. And will that be focused on fitness studios or any kind of business? It's because you've got that
background. That is women in business. So that's not necessarily fitness. And I'm really excited to do that because I feel like I've participated in so many amazing coaching programs, but I like to get my hands dirty and I like to sit down with someone and actually help them see something through start to finish. And that's one of the things I'm really hoping to bring to the marketplace.
Well, and to be, I mean, for you, this is where I want to give you props. It's like, I mean, you've been there and done it. You know, there are so many coaches, Amy, that, you know, they're coaches, but they haven't really been there and done that. You know, I mean, that gives you some really great credibility in my mind. So I think you're all that. I hope our listeners think you're all that. This is like my question. You don't even know I'm going to ask, so I hope I don't stump you on this. But, you know, we're at the kind of end of our show. And what's one thing or two things that you could share with our listeners just to kind of inspire us or leave us on a high, because I think it's amazing your background and what you're doing. So thank you for being on our show. But what are a couple of insightful things you can share that leave us with a good feeling about what you do? Anything come to mind?
Thank you. You know, I don't know that answer immediately off the top of my head. I will say I think the biggest thing is just keep failing forward. Keep making progress and putting one step in front of the other and just keep taking action. Because so often I meet women that had an amazing idea or they really wanted to do something and they sat there and 15 or 20 years have gone by and eventually they start to say, well, I'm too old. I can't take that kind of chance now or whatever. And I completely disagree. I think that, again, if you're feeling pulled to do something, you need to figure out how to make it work.
I think that is pretty inspirational, girl. It's like, just get off your butt and do it. I know. I don't ever let the dream die. That was awesome. Listen, girl, you are amazing. I can't thank you for being on our show enough. You know, round two.
Thank you.
You were on our show Monday, and we were talking about your book. But anyway, just thank you again for being our leading lady. And to our listeners, we love your loyalty. We're here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. And we will be back again on Monday for another fabulous Women Lead radio show with a new leading lady. So please have a good weekend and do one little thing. If you are out there and you interact with other women, please take the time to support another woman. If we can just be more supportive of one another, we can move the needle forward. So have a great weekend and we'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.